Welcome to episode one, after a pilot episode of how to make money online fast.
So we've got the best in the game.
And we've got the guy that's made money online faster than anyone else.
Ever.
In existence. Jeff, get out. Liam Parkinson, please introduce yourself.
So, Liam Parkinson, MD of Tropium UK. Tropium Global, Tropium, whatever you want to call it.
International.
Yeah, we're the newest division of Kairos Group, and we launched at the beginning of this year. Got some amazing talent, doing some very, very cool things, and ended up here.
What's your background, mate? What did you do before Tropium?
Worked at Twitch, Google, BBC, done the whole sort of shebang.
That's actually a mad CV. Yeah, yeah. It's mad that he was a janitor at two of those, though.
Yeah, a little apprentice name.
Well,
marketing assistant.
Here we go.
Technically, Google was.
We started at the bottom. Now we're here.
There we go.
I think it's true. I'm trying to press your laptop to get my agenda. Okay, look, we're gonna try to be a little bit more efficient than last time because I don't know what everyone's gonna see from our first episode. We spoke a lot of.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
Right, well, so I don't know.
I guess you wait another week for that then, guys. All our fans out there.
Bro, we had like 7 topics, 45 minutes.
No, it was actually quite... I mean, we talked a lot of shit in that, for sure. As always, we're going to talk about some things that a lot of people won't, right? Or the things that we're comfortable to do so. Money, behind the curtain of this Ooh. Weird and wonderful world we live in. Yeah? No? I felt like you were stopping me there.
No, it's like, money.
I actually feel like, not it's a topic, but I feel like money is less of a taboo subject now than ever before, like online.
Oh,
like
everyone, mate, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You money whore.
Exactly. Like people, like, you know what I mean? If you did one thing, like on a COD gameplay, you a sellout and you're like money whore and you instantly got like 10% disc like more than you did normally.
That was a fun time.
Yeah. Clickbait and titles back in the day was the biggest taboo you could
possibly
do. I
refused to do it.
And now you're sat here.
I regret it.
And look where he is now. And look where Ali is.
Look where everyone else is. Bro, no, me and Richard, we refuse to clickbait titles or do like just anything that would like perceive us as bad in the industry, and then everyone else is just like clickbaiting.
I think it's at the point now where
they got hate for it, and no, we were like, oh, we're fine. And
yeah.
Then
moral high ground.
Yeah. It shows how fickle the audience is, though.
No, it is. They're so fickle.
You know what's changed, right? I was listening to Keem's podcast maybe about this 8 years ago. You did a brand deal. Everyone's like, oh my God, you money whore, you sell out. Oh my God, you do one now. It's like, yo,
get the bag.
Catch the bag, bro.
But it also depends on who though, right? Like some have like dedicated audiences that are like, secure the bag. And some are like, 100%. Oh, another one.
Yeah, I was going to do it every video though. Yeah. But it's changed. Like honestly, remember when... like White Boy was getting like ridiculed for doing a giveaway.
No, like, oh my God, yeah, he did, yeah.
And putting it and titling something in the wrong category.
But no, this I was gonna say, that was, I think it's changed so much. I think if YouTube was miscategorized now, which was like honestly the biggest drama in YouTube history at the time, now I think people would be like, yeah, fair. Like if you want to get up to the financial algorithm.
I respect the hustle, don't worry about it.
You got to get up at anyone you can, bro. Like, it's actually mad, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, look.
Which is good for the industry.
No, it is. It's transparency, right? There's going to be a ceiling for sure where people are going to stop talking about it. But
people were scared to do like loads of brand deals, weren't they? When we were like 2013, 2014. Like,
people love talking about it now. I think that's the difference though. People have got to a point where they just don't give a fuck anymore.
It's also just like it's positive.
They're
right?
Very open as well. Like if you look at like Simon's podcast and stuff, they talk about brand deals and how much they're making. Yeah. And Boaty's like very transparent with how much he's making as well.
Yeah.
You weren't getting that 6-7 years ago in the space. Everyone would do a brand deal maybe once every 3 months.
And money was different then though. Like these guys are making probably hundreds of thousands of pounds now. Yeah. And back then you was probably talking 5-6 grand.
We missed the game, didn't we?
We did it wrong.
I think it's also like they've got to resonate with the audience a different way, right? Because if they're making 7 figures, which a lot of them are, the bigger guys, they got to find another way to connect with that audience to make them feel relatable. Otherwise they're celebrities like they are in their own right. Right. And it's the audience feel like they're helping them on that journey. I still see like Cal Freezy with his hoodies, like talk about keeping the lights on. Everyone knows it's tongue in cheek, but I guarantee that gets a good amount of engagement to the point that like there is that kind of vibe in it.
Like, do you think people now like buy products or click links or download a mobile app from a brand deal more than 6-7 years ago?
I'm not sure actually. And I guess this is like very, very relevant to us as a business, you know, as an agency that handles these deals. I feel like it, I feel like I'm on a sales pitch, but like if you do it in the right way, then yeah. Like I feel like now people are more open to like going through that journey as a user from start to finish, whereas previously there's this almost like invisible wall of not wanting to give these corporations any kind of money by paying. But I still see absolutely garbage campaigns go live with zero like CTAs or like narrative, and I honestly guarantee, I'm sure that they perform worse than anything from like 10 years ago.
I think it's different per industry. So obviously we're like, we pay more attention to like gaming, lifestyle, sport. Do you think it's the same in like fashion, beauty?
I think as people click like a link though sometimes to support the creator more than just whatever. Like I think they don't understand that most of the time the journey is to complete a purchase and that's where the money is made, but they sometimes click the link thinking that
there's a company out there, I actually quite like it, what they've done is they've got, it's like it's for mobile games. In the description you can click the mobile, like you can download the mobile game, and then the influencer will then receive like basically a referral fee from the from the creator downloading. So he's not getting paid a brand deal, but he'll be like, you know, download the link in the description. Every time someone downloads it, I make $3. So if we can all go and support it, and then if you get to level 10, I get another $2. So it kind of like gets the retention rate. So a lot of, like some brands are really starting to like change the way they're doing it, which is pretty cool.
We see like transparency again, right? Like that probably is the next step of what we've just spoken about. It's like, how do we, like when we start to see that fall off, you mentioned different industries, by the way, there's no doubt in my mind of how saturated the fitness industry is right now, that like conversion rates are dropping off the cliff because of how many deals. It's so consistent. I know, to the point that we said last week around like influencers doing their own companies now to kind of retain that connection between them and audience, but there's no doubt it's dropping. And in that sense, you need like new ways to connect, right? Which I think it will be that, like, people have been transparent that if they get X and Y, they get an additional 20% of their brand deal value, or they reach a certain level, or they outperform. Like we've seen it a lot, we've done it a couple of times where we've done like, you know, almost pitting them against each other within a campaign, but it still does promote that kind of like war attitude, right? Of like you versus them and you want to beat them. That narrative is so strong.
I think it's different per platform as well. Like YouTube is, I think, it's a bit more mature, but you see it now on TikTok as well, because the audience is a bit younger. Someone does a sponsored piece of content on TikTok and they're like, what is this sponsored advertisement?
I just want to see funny content.
Yeah, literally. I think that like YouTube's matured as a platform, and the creators have matured against that as well. Mm. But TikTok and Snapchat and stuff, I think
it's also,
I mean, it might go the same way, to be
it's
honest.
It's niches as well. So like Drew said, you look at fitness brands, for example, we've done a work with a couple of different ones recently, and we can see
Who have you worked with, Liam? You can say.
We say?
Yeah. We're not on his podcast.
We're right, honestly. What, as long as
I mean,
not,
it's on our website anyway, so.
www.tropium.com
on screen now. Thank you. So we worked with like MyProtein, Gymshark, and we see the stats. We have great relationships. Yeah. So I think for us, it's definitely, you look at even certain games, you can tell that a lot of fitness brands have worked within those games because the conversions aren't the same as compared to other niches with different audiences, different kinds of demos.
I saw the sales stats of a certain creator come through last week, and I was like, oh my God, like a thousand sales straight off the bat. Yeah. And he's not even that big of a creator as well. A thousand sales in a few days.
What was the average deal size?
I think he probably did like 20-25k of sales.
Yeah.
So $25
And he was and the brand paid like less than 30% of that.
Wow.
So from an ROI perspective.
That's a real ROI. That's real ROI. Yeah. Influencer marketing 101.
And it was probably the person you would have probably least expected it. Why from was that? With their audience. I think it's just it's brands coming into a space where people now are starting to be a lot more perceptive to self-care, especially with everything that's going on. Yeah. People are getting a little bit older, getting a little bit more wise to their appearance.
I'll throw a curveball as well. I don't think that creator does that many deals because he's in a very certain niche. I might be wrong, but he's in a very specific niche. His audience is very loyal as well in terms of how they much consume his content. So.
Question, do you think people, do you think the audience are buying it just because the person's promoting it? Because ultimately, they're not going to spend an average basket size of like $20, $30, $40, $50 on products that are actually quite expensive to just put them in a cupboard and leave them. Mm. And it's not just like a t-shirt or a hoodie. It's an actual physical like product that will expire and that's it.
You're not trying to, in these examples, you're never trying to take a cold consumer, someone that's never considered the product to finish, right? I mean, that's ideal. That's utopia. But actually what you're trying to do is the people that consider it already or are at a consideration level where they are aware of the product or the brand in general, and they just need to get onto that platform and that little kind of tick over the line from that talent that you support or from the influence that you want to get over the, like, you know, you want to benefit. That's, I think, who you're going for, right? And it obviously, you know, this talent in particular had an audience which was ready for the taking for a product that previously he hadn't pushed. And that's like it's an absolute like perfect scenario, right?
Yeah, it did really well. All right,
fast forward to the next topic.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, what's the topic?
Well, I mean, it's actually Roller does it nicely into sports,
yeah.
Sports and YouTubers,
yeah. Influencers,
yeah.
The future
athletes,
yeah.
E-athletes.
What a mad 2020. 2020 and 2019 has been a mad year for that man. Like, what was the first thing that sparked all of this? All of this like boxing drama.
Joe Weller Theo, bro.
No, before that, that's not a boxing.
Football.
Oh,
football.
I guess like Sidemen, right? Yeah. Simon Charity.
Charity started it all?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Is it? I can't think of an earlier memory.
Oh, no, it wasn't. EE Cup, Wembley.
Was that before? Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, was it? Maybe, actually.
Yeah. I think the EE Cup was first.
There you go. That's fair play. When was that? Like 2015?
That was a long time.
It was ancient now.
He banged off that as well because they did really well off that campaign.
They got tons of awards as well.
Yeah, the viewership entire series selling out Wembley basically.
Yeah,
absolutely madness. So that's one, but that might have sparked.
No, it was because I think that's what sparked everything else because that's when Sidemen came together for that match and then I think
Sidemen played hashtag. And then it's been off into the Sidemen Charity Cups, and then Theo Baker fought Joe Weller, and now here we are with Logan Paul fighting.
The mad thing of that was I saw when somebody tweeted about the butterfly effect, and it was like,
if Theo didn't
drop out of McDonald's,
then Logan Paul wouldn't be fighting Mayweather.
Exactly.
It's true. It's 100% true. They, even though it's an insane example of exaggeration.
When's the fight?
That is February, March.
Yeah.
Right. How mad would it be, right? I'm just saying.
We're going.
I didn't think it was up for debate, was it?
No. How mad would it be if, like, anything can happen if he, like, slipped and then just got landed a lucky punch or something like that?
It was
he's unbeaten, right? So, like,
what was the boxer that was fighting Tyson Fury a few years ago and he slipped back and snapped his Achilles or something like that?
And you never know.
The thing is, like, to me, there is the issue with it, there is no real win there. What is the outcome from that? It's like, okay, like, he got unlucky. Like,
just beat someone who's undefeated, right? Just
but he didn't beat him if he slipped and got a lucky jab in.
However, the results will say that it's a defeat.
Yeah. But Logan would bounce off that.
I'd love to watch it. Like, honestly, it'd be unreal. I'm a Logan fan, like 100%.
His content this year.
He's banging it. He's banged it. He actually has. But
have you seen the odds though as well? I think somebody tweeted saying if someone puts 3 million quid on it, they get like 30 grand or something if Mayweather wins. That's how bad the odds
are. Nah, they're not that.
They are.
It can't be that bad.
Bro, they've got to be, mate. Yeah. He's undefeated and he's going against a YouTuber lost to KSI.
I'm gonna lump on Logan. I'm going to lump on him. I actually trust him. I do. He can do anything.
You could probably like do a bet of like him to land a punch.
Bro, he's going to land a punch. Well,
I reckon it'll be less than
Conor McGregor struggled to land a punch.
It's going to be like less than 10 punches.
Anyway, all right. Right, so we've seen football like from inception to execution. We've then seen boxing follow quite a similar trajectory, right? Of now, like literally the big leagues. I guess the equivalent of what we're just seeing now is literally like hashtag going up against a Champions League level team, like top tier, right? So we're up there from boxing. No, you never know, bro. I mean, you've seen them in the FA Cup's third round. Yeah, jeez, right? Where's it going, right? Like, I think, like, you know, football's done it, boxing's done it. We've obviously seen Challenger Games as well with the pools.
That could have been amazing.
Yeah, and it was an absolute flop, right? Absolute flop.
Because of the cameramen, but I think that's enough for that.
Where are we going with YouTuber sports? Like, is it a business model? Is it purely a PR play? Is it a stunt?
It is a business model, though, isn't it? You have to look at a hashtag, so it is a business.
Ah, but I also have intel on various teams trying to create leagues, like football leagues,
a YouTuber football league,
and it just never took wings, never got the investment, never got the interest, never. Yeah. But well, that also, was also
when was that? When was that?
A year and a half ago.
Yeah, give it a couple of years, though, isn't it? I mean, like, we're trying to predict the future here. If Sky Sports need eyeballs, and you know,
I think
Sheffield United versus West Ham are only getting 300k views. But
that's optimistic.
Yeah, it probably is. To be honest,
no, I honestly do. Like, I think a lot, like, you're absolutely right, and it's also the views that they're getting as well. Yeah. Like, they know they're going to tick off all of the 60 pluses in a Chelsea United game, yeah. but they're gonna cannibalize their audiences by getting a Sheffield United, like, you know, like whoever game, anything with Sheffield United's gonna get no views, right?
We're having a bad year.
Yeah. So, but like, and it's irrelevant. Like, I don't remember the exact stats, but I can guarantee that hashtags like the qualifying third round game that went to pens, I guarantee it outperformed a lot of the Prem, like the Prem viewership.
One of their games had 40k concurrence on Twitch.
Yeah, that's just on Twitch.
And that's
yeah.
more than...
It got broadcast on TV, bear in mind as well.
Yeah, but yeah. that 40K is also more than any of the Amazon Prime football Premier League games that were also able to broadcast on Twitch. Yeah,
no, it was. We know that, right?
Wait,
we know
do you want to know the worst thing? It was more than all the games aggregated in terms of concurrent viewership.
So there you go. Yeah, so long story short, right? The viewership's there. We know that the audience from the mainstream media is going to be there. They want it. They need it. Again, like, their audience is aging out.
They are jumping on it already, man. What? Like, Sky Sports have just signed Chunks and all those
he's on,
guys.
He's on Saturday. He's on every Saturday. Yeah, for sure. Like, it makes sense. But again, like, football... Yeah, all right. So we're saying football trajectory is good. What? We're going to thought we're going to see a YouTube league, is that what you're saying?
I'll be surprised if we don't start seeing like that develop.
The quality
out.
Of football, it's just not there.
I don't see that, it gets boring very quick.
Yeah, but like people consume for the entertainment. Like people aren't watching Sidemen Charity for the bloody
Yeah, but
skill.
That's once a year, twice
true.
A year.
No, it is true. It's two-sided, right? Like they're so watching it to see, like, it's the curiosity though, right? Like that they're watching for the curiosity. They're going to see how good Castro is at swinging a ball top bins, which in reality is not very good, but they still enjoy watching it, right? And it doesn't matter how good he is. If you see that week in, week out, I think it would get old pretty quickly seeing someone fall over their own feet, right? Yeah. And I think you need like, and then but then you I guess you're on the side of what hashtag are doing, which is a fully functional quality football team, but then it doesn't have the personalities, it doesn't have the curiosity which you need to build up, which in my head, like, I don't think that's going to happen anytime
it'll
soon.
Probably just develop into like they do like celebrity matches, don't they, every like 6 months or every year and bring everyone in, so they'll probably that'll
well,
probably
did
just be a very
year, didn't they with yeah. Chunks and Philly exactly.
Pro
Ams blew
like,
them up.
Exactly.
It'll probably just be
massive.
Like, they'll probably just do it for every single sport. Get golf on ball.
That's what I'm saying. Golf's next.
That's exactly what I said. Like, what are we saying? Like what is next? Golf, I agree with. Like, is there any other sports? Like, I don't think cricket's going to get it anytime soon. But
I
like,
mean, like basketball. Like for looking at the US, like, mm-hmm. I'd be surprised. Like American football and basketball doesn't start taking off. That's
the thing is though. I think with basketball and NFL, there's a much bigger barrier to entry than just booting a football around.
I don't know, man. Like, not with basketball.
No, basketball you play on your own more than football, bro. Just sit and shoot freeze all
day. Yeah, but you can kick a ball and make it look fun, but on a basketball court, you're running up and down. Everyone will be
absolutely you're not the demographic.
Yeah,
for that,
bro. Basketball is sick. Basketball bangs. Like, I'm saying though,
if you've not trained, if you're not fit, like, I think it's one of the most physically intensive sports that you can play, basketball.
I mean, we've seen it though. 100T, like, it's too hype, right? Like, 100T have just partnered with them or just signed them, basically. It's creators. They're basketball creators, right? They're sport creators. Like, that, again, I see it so many times now, and every time I see it, it makes me shiver. But, like, this combination and combining of entertainment and gaming and music and stuff, it is inevitability. Yeah. Like, we will see it. Golf, I think, is a good shout, but it's not very competitive and it's not very exciting.
Yeah, but they play it a lot, don't they, the creators?
Oh, they all do. Yeah, they're all doing it on a weekly. It's a rich man's game.
And that was from Nadeshot. That's the last 6 months of Nadeshot posting.
So I don't think it's going to be sport. I think it'll be what, obviously, Foot Asylum has just done. And there'll be a lot more of that. So we've had Big Brother.
Yeah.
And it'll just
they're banging the content series. They've got like four or five different ones at the moment.
I think we'll start to see like, I'm an influencer, get me out of here. Yeah. All of those type of stuff. Like, we're already ripping off TV shows every single week for YouTube content.
For Sidemen Sundays, like, you could almost take those, replicate those on a wider scale, get some wider people involved to hit different audiences. And you're pretty much their weakest link. I saw. I was like, this is genius. Like, again, it's a dead show and the viewership's dead, but you watch it with people that you don't know what they're like. That's why Are You Smarter Than a 5-Year-Old bangs content, right? You just want to see how they stack up because you don't know these people. You see them in their element doing what they love or being very good at games or being very, you don't know what they're
Right. Competition format against it, like country v country,
money narrative, like exactly, rivalries, like put some people that hate each other in the same thing, but like it's not sport or physical, it's just about knowledge.
Jackmate,
right?
And JMX, wasn't it, in the Foot Asylum thing?
But I think there's loads of drama, but
the nostalgia there of TV programs, though, you've got to think. And I was speaking to a client about this the other day. I was saying to them that basically you've got to imagine all these like content pieces now that are being rehashed, your 1 vs 100, your The Chase and stuff like that. They're not content that the audience will consume, but there's something that's made them successful over the last 30 years. And that's why most of them have been TV series for at least 10 plus years. And that is obviously resonating with the younger audience now. And I think they're at a perfect time to be so receptive to fresh content that it actually does work and it'll continue to work.
That's what we're doing, right? We're recycling 20-year-old content in a digital age and in a different format, and it bangs. And then
and tested.
Yeah, and TV will just flip it, right? Like TV is just going to copy YouTube formats. That's original. It's very hard to come up with an original concept in 2020.
Well, Channel 4, Channel 5 now are literally just banging out tons of like YouTubers and doing podcasts, talk shows, all that kind of stuff. League of Their Own now.
I can't remember the last time I watched Channel 4 or Channel
5. I don't know if I watched it in 10 years.
Just keeping up to date with the industry and see what's happening.
That's it. Saturday night. Mom, should you watch Channel 5?
Can we get on 10 PM Channel 4 just to see what's going on?
It's a chase tonight.
Quick one before we move on.
Yeah.
Primetime television.
Yeah.
When are YouTubers going to start pumping out content regularly and that be the prime time? Obviously, Sidemen Sunday bangs Sunday, usually within the same hour or two period.
Yeah.
But there's still 6 days of a week where I think there's going to be a few pieces of content over the next sort of 12 to 18 months that will become the equivalent of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire on a Sunday night where everyone just sits.
It's already starting, isn't it? So, you know, with the Sidemen, I think loads of people are doing it. It has been around for ages, but everyone just focused on like their original channel. Like, I remember 2014, mate, like people doing like Call of Duty series that would come out at 7 PM on a Monday, 8 PM on a Tuesday. This is when it's due out.
Well, it's anytime Mr. Beast uploads, isn't it?
I think I disagree on this one for a couple of reasons. One, it's been around for so long and I don't think it's really gone anywhere with it. Like, there's no maturity in it. Two, the content isn't good enough, right? The reason Cyber Sundays does well is not because it's uploaded on Sunday at 6 PM. It definitely like it resonates with that audience, but it's because it's unique. It's completely different to any other content that person sees on a weekly basis.
I don't think you're saying it in that way though. I think you're saying like you go online and you've got Mr. Turbison, you go online and you know what time X person's uploading and it turns into a like YouTube or whatever turns into a TV format.
No, exactly. And then that was my second point, which is I don't think we're even close due to how unorganized and immature 95% of creators are to organize themselves that well. There's no way it takes like Josh with the Simon, like grinding and being a dad, right? To get them to and sometimes they still don't all film, right? We know for a fact, right? With our campaigns, like sometimes one person for some reason woke up late or can't reply. Like, there's no way that currently, like, at a top level, that influencers are going to create regular, like, mainstream TV style schedules because they can't stick to it. Streamers can. Now, streamers can. And streamers have done a very good job of it, right? They have weekly schedules that is their livelihood. But on a YouTube, it's too flexible, right? Like, they don't care. Well, if they upload a day later.
That's production company territory, though. And that's probably why Mr. Beast, although he might plan his content, he 100% has a huge production team
behind him. Yeah.
And they're organizing his schedules, organizing.
He doesn't have a choice. He doesn't have a choice. Exactly. And at the moment, that we have no maturity when it comes to that. I don't think we need it. I'm kind of worried about when that comes because it's going to reduce that kind of authenticity. But at the moment, like, we won't live in a world, I think, for another couple of years anyway, where there'll be kind of regular scheduling of YouTube content. Just because these are kids, right? They're people that are living the dream. And honestly, more power to them for how hard they've worked. But they can't organize themselves in a position.
Yeah, I guess on that as well. But also, we're consuming content different nowadays, aren't we? We don't want to stick to a certain time.
Yeah.
People just want to watch content in their own time.
Jump in and
they
out.
Want to watch it, you know, watch it at 1 AM or watch it at 7 PM. Like,
so true. And it doesn't need to be uploaded at a certain time.
That's why Netflix and stuff have been so bloody well.
No, it's so true. And it's like people switching from a phone to and sync up their laptop to pick up a video, pick up a long form content. Yeah.
Sidemen videos are long. I watch 30 minutes. I pause it for a little bit. I watch.
You're not the target audience,
Michael.
I watch all of them, mate. Trust me.
That's crazy.
I'll watch like 30 minutes of Sunday and I'll be like, I'm tired now, I'll go to sleep. And then maybe lunch on a Monday when I'm eating lunch, I'll finish the video. So I'll still like consume it, but I want to consume it in my own time. So, but yeah.
Well, at least you're doubling the ad money because every time you open it, you probably get served an ad.
You're welcome, guys.
In your lifetime, would you be interested to find out how much money has been generated through adverts that you've watched in terms of content?
Oh, I'd love
Twitch,
it. Yeah, I'd love whatever. It. But,
it won't be a huge number.
I used to use Adblock all the time. Like, I don't think I've really
you're the problem.
You're
the problem,
right?
Even I agree. Not anymore. Even if you watch 1,000 videos, which is a lot of videos.
I mean, that's a couple of dollars, isn't it?
We've watched tens of thousands of videos in our lifetime.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Even if we've watched 20,000 videos. $30.
Bargain.
Yeah, literally.
Bargain. Unreal. I'll take that CPM every day, bro.
Value to YouTube is $50.
Worth.
No, mine's $50.
Times that by a billion.
Yeah, I was going to say $50 times 3 billion people that access YouTube or a billion every month, whatever it is.
Jesus. Nah, cheers. Cheers, Google.
Link, I guess in the same sense to my point around maybe why we won't see regular scheduling, with you on this episode, Parky, I thought it would be worth talking about how influencers really are and how how they are as people. For the most part, this is going to be obviously very general because they're not going to be specific unless you want to. But also just about kind of how they actually have to deal with. Because I think at the moment, what 99.9% of the audience see is them producing content on a regular basis that looks very high quality, good production, entertaining. When in reality, what goes on behind the scenes is anything but, right? Sure. So tell me what influencers are like behind the curtain.
I think the biggest learning from the past sort of 10 years that I've known influencers, been around them, whatever, is they are just people. And you go to events and you see people shaking and crying. And it's one of those things that, like, you automatically put yourself into a category of a fan at that point.
Yep.
And then once you're in that, there's no getting out. Like, yeah, they might recognize you at events. They might say hi, whatever. But you're known to them as a fan.
Yep.
And that's it. And it's about... yeah, just sort of understanding that and that narrative and the bucket you go into. But I think in terms of actually like creating content, I think the most difficult thing is just organization. I think they have the ideas and it's like it's doers and thinkers really though, isn't it? And yeah, it's probably been the toughest 12 months to...
Why do we think influencers are so difficult to work with?
Like, for me, it's super clear.
Yeah, I was thinking like if you're a celebrity, you go you get celebrity status and then you've either been like training for it kind of thing. You get PR support.
You get a whole team to support you, don't
you? Yeah. And people do a lot for you as well, bear in mind. Yeah. Like people like not mentioning your names, celebs we worked very recently, like they don't run their own social media accounts, right? Like you might look like it, but we know they don't, right? Yeah.
And if you're a boatie, you're trying to run a Twitch stream, a YouTube maybe, a Twitter.
But that's what
Instagram,
everyone does though, which is mental.
Yeah, and I'll support but like notoriously difficult, but as you mentioned, they are humans. But like the difference of working with a celebrity, and influencers are celebrities in their own rights, but the difference of working usually with a celebrity in a management company is still light years away from.
I think it all comes down to money though, because I think like it's understanding the business of scale. And you see your Mr. Beast, your Quibble Cops, etc. That understanding that they scale their teams, they scale their business.
They are big teams as well.
Yeah, and you look at, for example, most of our guys. Yeah, they'll have an editor and a thumbnail guy. But that's about it. And that's why they rely on us so heavily to write scripts, draft tweets, Pokemon deliverables, making sure content's going out.
Yep.
Content will go out and they'll post the wrong picture. They'll post the wrong caption. They'll do something. You'll send them a piece of content and they'll still post the wrong content. Not our guys, by the way. Our guys are sick. But there's like creators that do stuff like that, and you look at it and you think like you just need to copy and paste.
That's why I like what platforms have done recently with like YouTube added in like manager access, so you actually like if you're an agency, you now can be, you can just ask the manager to usually log into their YouTube channel, make an edit for them. So if the creator is asleep, it starts to become like traditional, like, you know, celebrities, because the manager can go fix it or go edit it whilst, you know, the YouTube could be on a flight or whatever as well. So platforms are like adapting to it pretty well. I think that if Facebook and TikTok and everyone jump on that, it'll mature the industry quite a lot quickly as well.
The biggest issue we have right now is our guys have mad schedules. Like some people are up at 8 a.m., other people are up at 3, 4, 5 p.m. And it's like at that point, if something's gone wrong, if something isn't right, you don't have then the access to get in and actually change that. And I think that's our biggest conflict with a client at the moment. They'll ask us for something, we'll send it, but then it's like they'll be like, we want it by 9 a.m. tomorrow, and you're like, I can get it you as soon as I can, but it's going to be 4 p.m. because that's when they wake up.
The expectations, and I sat on both sides of it, the expectations of like a brand or an agency is like they're so used to like being in control of something and like, no, we ask for it at 8 p.m. tomorrow. Like, you have to do it. We are paying you 75,000. If you're a talent manager, you're requesting it from the talent, and they're just like, I'll get it to you. I will get it to you. Don't worry. And then if they don't send it, like what? Like
there's only so much you can do. There's so much you can do.
I think an interesting.
But that's an education for the, like, that's an education as a talent management company. What you have to do with the influencers is educate them. Like, you are making 400k a year. You're not pissing around here. Like, you've got to take this seriously. Yeah. Like, if you're contracted to do something with LG for 25 grand and you got to get it for tomorrow at 10 p.m. you've got to do it, otherwise you're losing this and you can get sued for it. And they don't realize that. They don't realize the repercussions is they could get sued. They kind of just like brush it off. Yeah. A lot of creators do it as well. Yeah. It's pretty
that's not an accurate deal size, or, well, client's correct, but deal size not right for anyone. I think not to sound like too much of an old timer, but I think it goes back to kind of the come up, right? Is whether you realize it or not, for 99% of creators, it's an 8 to 10 year journey to make it. Like, it's not, there's some overnight success, right? But I'll use Mr. Beast as an example, right? Like, he was uploading videos for years and years before he made it. And that goes for like a lot of like gaming creators, right? They didn't make it until it. And as a result, they started when they were like 14, 15, 16. And by the time they make it, they're young adults, right? Of an age where you would expect to be on a mature level, but they're not. They've never worked a normal job, right? They don't understand what the expectation, they don't understand, like, I don't want to say like they should be grateful. No, they've worked hard for what they've done, but they don't have any context, right? They don't understand how shit is out here and how bad their life could be without it. And therefore they don't care. And I think like that maturity, again, we're getting better. Managers, agents, and maybe even agencies are like helping along that journey. But there's a long way to go for them to understand how to be a professional, right? I think it can get worse
as well, because like with platforms like TikTok,
you
can blow up in a week or 2 weeks. Yeah. And if like you're an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah, but do you not see the TikTok guys that got 200K followers and they're releasing merch, and the merch is literally just their face on a t-shirt. And you're like, number one, no one's going to buy it. No one's going to wear it.
Yeah, I'll counter that though. There is a lot of new TikTok kids, quotation marks, who are banging it.
Yeah, but they're
the most professional people out there, mate, because like they've literally started TikTok with the mindset of, I'm going to be an influencer and I'm going to be famous. And they get their little crew. They
I'm going to be brand safe.
They have content schedules. Mm-hmm. They've got scripting timelines. Everything's coordinated. Yep. They've got a production crew. They pay everything on time.
Yep.
They do all their brand deals because they're like, I'm going to make this a job. And they do it from 18 and bang
it's
it.
It's those TikTok houses that are... That,
it's so opposite, right? It's mad, man. Like one end of the spectrum to the other. And then there's so many people we work with. I'm on both sides. So there's so many people I've seen. I'm like, I've been texting people. And it's like, yeah, I'll get it to you. I'm like, yeah, it's been 6 days. I was like, you can't relate, mate.
Try months.
I think it's our job as agencies, as managers, as friends of whoever it is to educate. And it is like, it's not a dictation. It's not like you need to get your, you know, foot out your ass and start working hard. It's just a holding hands.
It does
hands.
Need that though. Sometimes it does, and sometimes
that's what's needed.
Our guys, for example, have come on. Most of them have come on leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
However, the risk of what we do is it gets to the point where the talent, then every single campaign comes in. It's like, if a tweet's part of the deliverables, they're like, can you write the tweet?
Yep.
And it's like, well, yeah, we can write the tweet, but you know your audience better than we do. Mm. You know this, you know that. And we're almost getting to the point now where we handhold our talent through the entire process, but then it's like
that's just what it is. Like that's celebrities, bro.
I
like,
know for sure.
Like, they'll do it for footballers.
They,
all the
they
time.
Need hand holding from start to finish. Like everything done from down to like the food that they eat.
There's a reason the best people to work with, like genuinely, and as an agency, like if you're good to work with, you get a lot more opportunities because it's reliability.
Yeah.
There's a reason the best people to work with have like a full structured team. Like Mr. Beast, incredible to work with. He's got a team of 20, 25 people or whatever. Like Quebble Cops usually banging to work with. So all these guys who have like massive teams who have really got, this is a business. I'm going to treat it as a business and build it. And I'm going to invest my money. There's a reason they're doing better than anyone else.
As a final point on this, if there is probably not going to be any influencers listen to this or anyone that works with them. But if there are, if you are good to work with and you are responsive, I can tell you right now, as an agency, you go to the top of the pile instantly. And like, you know, not to the point that we will, you know, reduce ROI or sacrifice, you know, CPMs that we want to achieve, but you will instantly be tier one solution. And you can, like, I could cite 17 different times the last four or so months where we have used talent that we know we can rely on because we cannot risk working with unprofessional people. Yep. And if you're so unprofessional that you can't carry out your duties, like I know that we have a couple right now, you'll be blacklisted forever. And like that, you know, or forever until eventually you turn the game around. And they need help along that way. But that is the sad fact of the matter. And we need to sort it out.
And you guys do give opportunities for people to redeem themselves as well.
We try.
Like,
we had a specific couple of influencers who were blacklisted for a year. I was like, we'll give it another go.
Yeah.
We'll take them off and then we'll try again, see if they improve.
Some succeed, some don't.
Yeah. And if they fail again, it's 2 years.
There was one that didn't improve.
No, for sure. We mentioned TikTok there. TikTok houses now, like, and I'm glad we're talking about it now because it was like the hot topic for a couple months back, and I want to talk about it now because
we explored it loads, though, didn't we?
Yeah,
houses, talent,
100%, and like now it's obviously not it's died down. Well, I think it has died down, but also like we can look at it a bit more objectively, right? About like how it's actually gone and if we see any value in it. So, how do we feel about TikTok houses right now? Still something to do? Should we be opening a TikTok house?
problem is how many there is. Like, I could name 3 or 4 in the UK. I could name 15 in America, a few in Spain. Like, everyone's doing them.
You
so, like,
to top what everyone else is doing.
And
as well.
The Wave House have a mansion with helicopters and stuff going around. Like, how do you top that? Like, it's
But that's the question. How you're right. I think you've summarized it perfectly. Super saturated and a lot of money's been thrown about. But as with anything, and it's super in its infancy at the moment. What's our USPs? If we were going to open a TikTok house tomorrow, what do we do?
Should open like a Red Bull TikTok house.
To do what? What's the benefits though? Like, yeah, you're great, and they pay for it.
You have to now put. It's almost getting to the level of Mr. Beast kind of money to be able to continuously put out content that is engaging.
Are we copping out and saying it's money?
I actually don't agree with that. I don't think the TikTok
hiring out. Well, I know it's.
Oh, I thought you meant the content itself.
No. I'm talking like. Hiring helicopters, building water parks, hiring tanks.
But like, are we saying that that's what we need? Like, are we really sitting here and it's a platform that's been around for a f-ing year that we to innovate, we just need to throw money at it? Because I think that's a cop out, right?
No, we're working in a little format, aren't we? Well,
yeah.
I don't know if you guys know actually. Right. We're working in a little format behind the scenes. But that's not throwing money at it.
How do we separate ourselves? That's what I mean, not we, but in general, like, what, you know, how does one separate themselves from it, right? It's about maybe producing content that is a bit more kind of down to earth, because at the moment it's full Hollywood, right? Yeah. Or it's something that is maybe a bit more community focused and audience members, you know, get a f-ing chance to go, I don't know what it is. But like, surely there's some wins here that really, when we see a saturated market, actually they need to
start
looking.
There's a secret source somewhere.
Sure.
There is.
Cheers, Jeff.
Don't worry, guys. You can do it.
You guys come to us for that consultancy piece, yeah?
If anyone wants a secret source,
we'll get it for you.
If anyone wants to buy Bitcoin or like Ethereum, just my DMs are open, innit? I'm also doing a trading course and a house trade up as well, so. Yep.
If we're saying that TikTok's done and not done but no, saturated, done. Right? No, sorry. TikTok houses are saturated and there's a lot of them. Is there any opportunities we see outside of like what?
1,000%. So like everyone thinks like this year houses are like, oh, it's never been done before. Houses have been around for years. Like
I'd been seven or eight.
Yeah, Optic House, Phase House. Like they've been around for so long. It's like TikTok.
Game Ashore, baby. That's a little
throwback. Oh my god.
That's the OG one. I saw when Jake Paul started talking about him being the first ever YouTuber, I was like, right, they don't remember about Goldie and Jericho, man. That was the first one that I remember. Well. Yeah.
Oh my days. Wow, that was a massive
if you go back 3 or 4 years, gaming houses were the one thing that everybody wanted. Like the dream was to live in a house.
Dream. Yeah, and then a lot of teams started doing them, and then they started to hate each other. And then that was a pivot. And then he died for a couple of years. I remember even the Optic House, right? You talk about that, the Nadine Scump relationship and how much that just kind of completely capitulated. Amazing content. Like Big T and stuff being involved. Like amazing content. But they then died for a bit, and obviously now I'd argue probably at the peak again or at the peak. But I don't know if I see. If there's got to be something to separate, right? Again, like it's a lot of the same. Like the 1% house is just the Phase House version 2. Amazing. And
The Clout House literally live in the old Phase House.
Literally, yeah. That's what I mean. Like, and I think that there's got to be some wins there, right? Outside of just like what is standard.
What they're all doing is just again, like 6 of them put together. They put a 10 grand a month house.
Yeah, but is a house necessary though? Could you not just literally, well, they're contracted like they're working anyway, but you just need a location. And I think
it depends, like people are paying for it, right? Triller pay for, is it the Triller pay for the Clout House?
It's Sway House, isn't it?
I can't remember houses, man.
There is so many. But I think it goes back to this piece around like the management that we talk about, influencers, but it's how much control that then a brand or a production team can have if they're in-house. Yeah. Like they don't need the influencer to create content if they can film the influencer to create content, right? And it takes it out of the influencer's hand or the talent hand and then puts it in our hands, which as an agency or as a production team, as a brand, is absolutely what you do, because then you control the narrative completely and it takes out of what?
Just put a bunch of cameras in the house, right? And behind the scenes.
Yeah, but that don't work because FaZe did that.
Make a little documentary.
FaZe did that and they put up loads of cameras in the house and then I think they threw a party or something and it was while they were still like installing the cameras and loads of shit went down and they were literally just like, these cameras aren't getting
you obviously
turned on.
You live stream it. That's the USP, all right?
Yeah,
If you got like 4 big creators, even more ideally, into a house and live, that would bang.
Yeah, but then there's no privacy.
But it's the problem. I'm not talking about in the bathroom.
No, like, we're trying to make a USP here.
Yeah,
it's different. Johnny,
yeah.
Yeah, but living room, kitchen, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But then there's no like you can't really have parties, you can't have friends around.
I think you probably like these parameters, right?
Also depends what commitment you're doing here. Yeah. Like people do a lot more if you want to be
throw me a couple of zeros, I'm there.
Exactly. And
that's the point we're making.
As I think a lot of talent would. Like I think you got to get the right brand right, but like a rock star, like a monster that may be a little bit more flexible on their brand guidelines. Yeah, yeah. Like if you get them in and they throw a party, that would get 100k CCU if you see one of Banks's parties go off. Do you know what I mean? I think like that again,
the right guess.
A little GoPro on a bottle of tequila or something.
Tone of voice is right as well, to be honest.
Imagine Dan Bilzerian's deal for that.
Dan Bilzerian comes in on, live stream, guys, join this.
Twitch.tv/Dan.
By the way, I'd 100% be tuning into that live stream.
Everyone would. That's what I mean. There you go. Maybe that's the future.
Okay, Rockstar, Monster, Red Bull.
No, alcohol brands.
Every day.
Don Julio and Smirnoff. I've seen you doing a couple things, 100T. Come bell my line if you want to do something mad.
TikTok house, 24/7 live stream, parties every week.
Yeah.
The real life.
Captain Morgan's.
The real life.
Captain Morgan would throw a belter of a party.
Yeah,
let's not give them all the spoilers. Yeah, we have loads more ideas, guys.
Tom Harris has already reached out to those, actually. So
that's just the tip. There needs to be a creative Red Fred, which we can pitch. So
you need a creative and you need the execution, management, production of house, okay? Yes. All right. There was a point in this. I don't know if we want to talk about it, but we're talking about big deals. Because I think when we talk to a bit more like...
Are we not all big deals?
Huh? No, I'm not.
Ooh. Oh, never mind.
No.
Just me.
And I think when we have talent on this, I think it's going to become a lot more relevant to maybe delve into their personal finances wherever possible. But between us, as far as like big deals, what do we feel comfortable sharing about deals we've been involved in?
I mean, it doesn't have to be just what we've been involved in, just in the space as a whole, right? A lot of big deals are public. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess, but boring.
Can we include everyone knows previous about big roles, deals, right?
That's the point.
You want to talk about some...
There is
a lot
of big deals where people have no idea.
What's an example? Throw one out there right now. But it's just...
I mean, like, this is public. So, like, JJ's deal, where he sold all his AdSense to all his rights. That's public. He said it on a podcast, so it's nothing private.
Right.
Not sure the value of that, but it's got to be in the 10 million.
Right, so plus. We don't know the value, and it's all public knowledge, right? Come on,
what's this guy's waste, man?
Oh, he's absolutely baited you out there.
Come on,
Ninja's deal. I know that's more public.
I know quite a lot of platform deals that would very much surprise people.
Yeah, you definitely can't say.
No,
that.
You can't. You can't say those. You can't say
no. That. But there has been over the past couple of years multiple. Obviously, £1 million deals, they're lowball deals.
Yep.
There's been a lot of them which people wouldn't really realize. There's a couple in the 5, 6, 7 mil range. Mm. There's one or two between like 10 and 15. And then obviously you've got the bigger dogs. But there's also been a super...
Ninja got the bag, didn't he?
Yeah. There's also an interesting sort of comms between platforms as well that people don't see.
Yep.
And there's a lot of... When there is these big bidding wars going on,
isn't it?
Yeah. But they also all have a fair play agreements as well, which no one realizes.
Look, it goes back to my point around the things that we're actually comfortable to share, because Mike actually doesn't have anything. So,
have something.
It's a really tough one. What I would say is an angle is
we've done some stuff like Mr. Beast and stuff, haven't we?
Exactly. With let's talk about like,
I don't know if Jimmy's listening.
Let's talk about like let's talk about benchmarks and standard.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He wants me saying, I'm going to listen to your podcast. A YouTuber's got 1 million subs. He's getting 100k views a video.
Yeah.
And he's doing decent on social.
Yeah.
How much are we going to, how much are we, not we as in, as one, as an industry, how much is he making from a brand deal these days?
How many views?
Not a lot.
He's getting about 100k views a video.
We're doing integration. We're doing dedicated.
We're doing a dedicated video. We're doing two social posts. One on Twitter, one on Instagram. Huh?
What genre?
We'll do fitness.
No, but we have ranges. That's the thing.
That's my point. So, I'm not asking for a specific number, mate. I'm not asking you to give me a quote on the podcast. Yeah.
What brand is it?
What's the duration? No. When's this content going live, Drew?
I think there's a lot of sticking points. But for example, 100K. We've done deals between like £2,000. For an integration up to sort of like 20-25k.
So we're talking on average, we're going to say 10-15k.
No, definitely not.
Right. So what's the average?
3-4k.
Exactly.
3-4k.
3-4k. No, I think I was going to say
Integration. Integration.
Dedicated. Double, right?
6, 5. Yeah. Depends on the brand again.
Yeah.
Like if a creator likes a brand, they will genuinely probably lower their price 100%. By 20-30%. If they don't like the brand, and it's going up 20-30%.
If you're a cool brand and you're not in influencer marketing, I've said this for years, like you are missing a goal. Like if you're an automotive brand or something similar,
shiny,
the amount of access you
Gym
have
Shark.
Bro,
Gymshark.
I don't know. I think less than that. Gymshark have done influencer marketing their whole life. I'm talking about
people like airlines, automotive brand, like all of that. They have so much access and so much opportunity. Like, what? Right, honestly, if you're Mercedes, what is giving someone a few cars out to some influencers, earn media, like drive this for a couple of weeks? They will 1000% generate content. It's not cost them a penny.
This could be slightly inaccurate, but I'm pretty sure Syndicate had some form of a deal with Jag.
I actually sat in on one of their meetings. By the way, they got so much content from it.
Yeah, why not still get content from it.
Yeah.
Why not do that 50 times over?
Yeah.
I mean, there's an important distinction to make here, because I totally agree with what you said. Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, I said six.
15 minutes later.
Well, I think like with earned media plays and brands, I totally agree. But I'd also say that we're talking about airlines and Mercedes and automotive, right? Let me tell you right now, if you go to a big creator with a brand of that level and that caliber, the first thing they're going to think is money bags.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I think it's a bit of both. But again, it goes back to being smart, and that's what they need an agency for. So hit up us. No, I'm joking. I think like,
do you think if a creator, for example, someone's on social, they talked about Audi 5 years ago in a tweet saying like, I want an R8.
Yeah.
If one day Audi just turned up and dropped an R8 on their doorstep.
Yep, 100%.
There was, you see the recent drama with a screenshot of all the deliverables and the amount that a fashion brand was asking an influencer to do. So they there was a screenshot being like, oh, you know, this is taking advantage of influencers. She had 1 million YouTube followers, 1 million Instagram followers.
Yep.
And they were asking, I think, 7 in-feed Instagram posts, 7 Instagram stories, and 4 YouTube integrations.
Wow.
So how much would you charge for that?
That's how big are they?
So we don't know the
followers. You're still looking 150k, 200k.
Million YouTube, followers, million Instagram followers.
Yeah.
They're asking for, let's say, 4.
If there's a brand listening, by the way, follow accounts and sub counts don't actually attain to
they
price.
They don't, but let's take a base average.
They're getting like 100k likes or something.
Let's take a base average 10%. 4 YouTube integrations, 7 in-feed posts, and 7 story posts.
You're talking 300-400k there, easy.
Work it out. Work it out from a CPM perspective.
I'd say three. Off the top of my head, without working out, so I think it's 400k.
Right, here we go. 4 YouTube integrations, 100k views a video. So like, you're charging, you say, 6-7 grand?
I think you do that 28 to be safe.
So you got 30 grand there. Yeah. How much do you charge for the Instagram feed posts?
I mean, if they're 15, banged, 20K, if they're banging, like another 80.
80?
80, yeah.
For all of Instagrams.
What, 7? No,
Wait, 4.
It was 7, yeah, sorry, it was 7.
My said 4. Mad. No, okay. I think like 15k a pop.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So we're about 120k total, yeah? Their screenshot was 7k. And they got slated.
Wow. Yeah, but that's the same with CDL though. CDL own all of the esports YouTube channels,
they? But the counter to that is, and which was someone made the point which I thought was very valid. There's millions of girls who are happily take that because
they don't know.
Also, how many Instagram girls are there? If some ex person X is not going to do that brand deal, person Y will 100%.
I mean, it depends
do
what level. I understand there's a lot of big girls and males as well on Insta at that level, but that does not mean you devalue yourself to that degree.
There's a lot.
I don't think it's saturated to the point you need to, like, you're not.
I think if it was.
Look how many fashion brands are spending money.
The thing is, if that was
a big brand.
If that was 100K.
No, I'm sure it is.
If that was 100K, I would totally understand you, because it is massively underpriced still, but it's still a lot of money that somebody would do it. But you're talking 7 grand.
Yeah, of what is 200K?
Obviously. All right, so because we're getting kicked out, did we have one final question?
I can't remember the exact question. What was the question?
I can't remember.
Unlock your laptop. Did we write it down?
What is... edit this bit out, Nathan. We can't remember the last question we were going to ask.
What was it? What was the last one? Oh, yeah. Okay. Next billionaire YouTuber. Now, for full disclosure, Mike and I had this discussion and we kind of came to the same agreement. Should we just say who that was and then we'll do another
one? No, I
want to
ask him first.
Okay.
Who do you think will be the first billionaire YouTuber who will be worth or have in cash £1 billion or dollars?
Can I say two people that are working together?
Sure.
Queb and Mr. Beast.
Oh, okay, yeah. You're wrong.
I'm fine. No, I'm joking. Gaming. I'd still class Mr. Beast somewhat as gaming.
Yeah, no, he's got a bit of
two gaming creators that I think they are working together. I think if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be them.
Fair. Ryan Toys Review.
He's the number one YouTube channel in the world, of course.
No, but...
No, it's not his. It's his... licensing deals.
His license, all his image rights out this year, $500 million products they've sold.
Honestly,
$500 million.
Star, obviously, right? Because it's no brainer. But I was like, I'm wrong, right? Ryan is the king, bro. He's like, think about, by the way, that's just one of his revenue streams as well. Like, let alone his ad rev, which we know he's monetizing because of his style
games.
Of content.
He's in games now.
He's
got his own TV show.
He
probably is already worth $1 billion, to be honest. Honestly, get him on.
The thing is that, yeah,
come on, Ryan.
I think you can.
The flip side of it though is when people have these big brands but people don't actually see, like, I think it's James Charles that only owned such a small percentage of what is a multi-$100 million company.
Okay, look,
we're getting kicked out.
I think it's going to bring us to a close anyway. This was episode one of how to make money online fast. Yeah, say it fast as well.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Liam Parky Parkinson
for joining us. Give a shout out to 14 people.
Who do you want to shout out?
Give yourself a plug.
Yeah.
Big shout out, Folly Boy on Twitter, PA7KY, actually on all platforms, which is one of my biggest flexes. Apart from when I used to have parking, I lost it. But yeah, no, 2021, big things. Lots of numbers. Let's talk.
Remember to rate it 5 stars.
Ooh.
And share it.
Please help us. Get more views than... Oh, no, I can't say that.
Because this is going to be our biggest monetization stream in 2021.
So. Yeah, well, it is now.